with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy. Welcome to a very, very special edition of The Horn. I'm Bob. We'll figure out why in a moment. But just to get things started, a little something of an artistic nature, this is the time of year for T.S. Eliot. I think I referenced this line a couple of nights ago. April is the cruelest month, breeding lilacs out of the dead land, mixing memory and desire, stirring dull roots with spring rain. Winter kept us warm, covering earth in forgetful snow, feeding a little life with dried tubers. Summer surprised us, coming over the Starnberger See with a shower of rain. We stopped in the colonnade and went on in sunlight into the Hofgarten and drank coffee and talked for an hour. Bin gar keine Russin, stamm aus Litauen, ich Deutsch. And when we were children, staying at the Archduke's, my cousin, he took me out on a sled and I was frightened. He said, Marie, Marie, hold on tight. And down we went. In the mountains there you feel free. I read much of the night and go south in the winter. What are the roots that clutch? What branches grow out of this stony rubbish? Son of man, you cannot say or guess, for you know only a heap of broken images where the sun beats and the dead tree gives no shelter, the cricket no relief, and the dry stone no sound of water. Only there is shadow under this red rock. Come in under the shadow of this red rock, and I will show you something different from either your shadow at morning striding behind you, or your shadow at evening rising to meet you. I will show you fear in a handful of dust. The opening stanza of T.S. Eliot's The Wasteland. And, of course, this being April the 1st, it is, with many people, April Fool's Day. Only thing is, I don't do April Fool's Day. You know what? I'm a total crank. I'm a geezer. I'm not a holiday guy. Maybe that's because for me every day is a holiday. Maybe because every day is worth celebrating. Some more than others, some less. But the idea of dedicating a day to pulling pranks on people, and, you know, I saw footage today of some, I think a pitcher for the Cardinals who was pranked into thinking he had been traded. Where's the joy? I don't mean to be a spoil sport, but really, what's the fun? But even though I don't do the April Fool's thing, apparently the April Fool's thing does it with the rest of us. It is an exquisite day here in the hills. It is a magnificent day here in the hills. The sun is high in the sky and warm upon your shoulders. The sky itself miles high in its own right. And on this day, this first day of April, this day of pranks and lies, a truth has won out. And it is a truth that speaks to justice all across these oldest mountains on the face of the planet. There is, in short, joyous news in the hills. and news which you have a hand in and a part of and have every right to celebrate along with those of us who are right here. It happened earlier in the day today. The United States Environmental Protection Agency, the Obama EPA, has released a new guidance document. You know, if you recall the various hacks and flacks of our political class, the ones in West Virginia who are bought and sold by the coal industry, have complained for months now, we ain't getting no guidance from the EPA. Well, they got their guidance today, and they are choking to damn death on it. This document provides the coal industry and coal state regulators with clarity regarding the permitting of mountaintop removal coal mining. There are huge steps within this. The EPA is warning that water pollution from mountaintop removal operations dangerously increase the electrical conductivity of streams. And they're setting up a much more rigorous mandate that the coal thugs and the state mining regulators, so to speak, have to finally deal with this huge problem that they have ignored for so very long. But within the document is also reference to how water quality will be monitored, issues of environmental justice. And this is the pull quote from the document. It has been a high priority of this administration and EPA Administrator Lisa P. Jackson to reduce the substantial environmental and human health consequences of surface coal mining in Appalachia and minimize further impairment of already compromised watersheds. As scientific evidence grows, and you were among the first to hear some of that most damning scientific evidence when Margaret Palmer shared it with you a couple of months back here on the Horn. As scientific evidence grows, EPA has a legal responsibility to address the environmental consequences of Appalachian surface coal mining. There is a press release. You can actually get the guidance document and a summary of it, a question and answer sheet. The EPA has done everything in their power to make their reasoning known. Just to share with you the press release itself, the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency today announced a set of actions to further clarify and strengthen environmental permitting requirements for Appalachian mountaintop removal and other surface coal mining projects in coordination with federal and state regulatory agencies. Using the best available science and following the law, the comprehensive guidance sets clear benchmarks for preventing significant and irreversible damage to Appalachian watersheds at risk from mining activity. Mountaintop removal is a form of surface coal mining in which explosives, and they didn't note 3.5 million pounds a day in West Virginia alone, but in which explosives are used to access coal seams, generating large volumes of waste that bury adjacent streams. The resulting waste that then fills valleys and streams can significantly compromise water quality, often causing permanent damage to ecosystems and rendering streams unfit for swimming, fishing, and drinking. It is estimated that almost 2,000 miles of Appalachian headwater streams have been buried by mountaintop coal mining. The people of Appalachia shouldn't have to choose between a clean, healthy environment in which to raise their families and the jobs they need to support them. That's why EPA is providing even greater clarity on the direction the agency is taking to confront pollution from mountaintop removal, said EPA Administrator Lisa P. Jackson. We will continue to work with all stakeholders to find a way forward that follows the science and the law. Getting this right is important to Americans who rely on affordable coal to power homes and businesses, as well as coal communities that count on jobs and a livable environment, both during mining and after coal companies move on to other sites. And what she means by that is when the coal's gone, the coal company leaves the community high and dry, and it is, you know, as though I never knew ye. This is a decision of monumental proportions. Bullet point, strong science. EPA is making publicly available two scientific reports prepared by its Office of Research and Development. One summarizes the aquatic impacts of mountaintop mining and valley fills. The second report establishes a scientific benchmark for unacceptable levels of conductivity, a measure of water pollution from mining practices that threaten stream life and surface waters. These reports are being published for public comment and submitted for peer review to the EPA Science Advisory Board. And then this. A growing body of scientific literature, including previous and new studies performed by EPA, shows significant damage to local streams that are polluted with the mining runoff from mountaintop removal. The mere fact that they use the words mountaintop removal is stunning, because the EPA has been dogged in its determination to call it mountaintop mining. But there, mountaintop removal. To protect water quality, EPA has identified a range of conductivity, a measure of the level of salt in the water, of 300 to 500 microsiemens per centimeter. The maximum benchmark conductivity of 500 microsiemens per centimeter is a measure of salinity that is roughly five times above normal levels. The conductivity levels identified in the clarifying guidance are intended to protect 95% of aquatic life and freshwater streams in central Appalachia. This is big. This is mammoth. Somewhere, Don Blankenswine is trundling his girth around and howling imprecations at an uncaring sky. I personally was reminded of the words of Winston Churchill, 1942. He said, "No, this is not the end. This is not the beginning of the end. But this may be the end of the beginning." This tells us that we have massive amounts of work to do, but that we are finally working with a governmental agency that actually wants to do science, that actually wants to follow the law. I mean, I got to be honest with you. I had never heard of a microsiemen before. And no, it's not that kind, you dirty-minded. But you know what? That's okay, because I'm not the science guy. But they are intent at EPA on doing this according to science. Because see, for 8 years under the Bush administration, EPA said, Jesus will protect the little streams and the fishes and the lizards and the froggies and the flies. Jesus will protect them. Hallelujah. Amen. And that was the end of it. Oh, we've got some science here. Never mind your science. We have faith to move mountains. Set off another blast, boys! That day would appear to be over. That sun would appear to have set. This is a great day. It is not the greatest day. On the day when we do end mountaintop removal once and for all, I don't know if I'll be able to be on the air. I may be out running naked on a mountaintop somewhere that ain't going to be blowed up. But for now, I'm behind the microphone to share this magnificent news with you. There was an EPA conference call today. A member of the Horn family took it upon herself to be present on that EPA conference call. When I got news from Jude that she had done that, I was absolutely gobsmacked. and I was thunderstruck. And I was moved to near tears. Because I understood. I understood in a trice. Once again, why the horn exists. And why your sacrifices are worth it. And why these 3 hours a night and the hours put in by John Fox and by Sue and by everyone associated with the horn and by Ben Birch and by our weekend crew and people who have gone before and aren't doing shows now but may later or may not, why it has all been so important and so worthwhile. Because when I got word today that Jude had called in to participate in that EPA call, and, you know, there she is out in Washington State. Not singling anyone out. But I realized that the horn really is accomplishing its mission. That we are bridging the vast expanses of time and distance that exist between us, between people of good will, good spirit, and good heart. We are bridging that gap and closing that distance and creating a community with bonds of absolute steel. Human steel, in which we do matter to one another, in which one issue is the equivalent of another issue and touches upon another issue and touches upon another issue and ripples, 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 ripples roll out from a tiny pebble thrown into the midst of a vast lake. Because you have had a hand in this. Many of you have called the White House. Many of you have called the EPA. You have emailed. You have submitted comments. You have called your congressmen. You have called your senators. And though you are not even in Appalachia, you have made Appalachia yours. You have declared more loudly than any politician that Appalachian people are absolutely, fully as American as the rest of the country, and that Appalachia matters. You have done that. And you have done that because of the sense of community and family that we have created here at the Horn through hours and hours of conversation and hard work and frustration and exhaustion and joy and sorrow. We have experienced together everything that people who love one another and care about one another experience. And so while I thank EPA Administrator Lisa Jackson, and while I extend my personal thanks to the President of the United States, Barack Obama, without whom Ms. Jackson could not have rendered the decision the EPA rendered today, I also extend a personal debt and expression of profound gratitude to you, for putting life behind the ideals with which the horn was born, for proving through your action and determination and dedication that yes, indeed, liberal radio works. Liberal radio is effective. Liberal radio can succeed in ways which we cannot imagine. You've proven that. I haven't. We haven't. You have. And that is as profound a thing as may likely to be to happen inside my life, short of the birth of my children and my marriage to my adored, beloved, darling wife. This is amazing. This is stunning. And it is born of power that we can neither qualify nor quantify, catch nor measure in any way, except to note it when it happens. And you are the ones who make it happen. So that is where we begin. But another piece of good news. Something that I like to call liberals behaving liberally. God, don't we love to see that when it happens? Well, thank yous are due to go out. I'm receiving word this evening that one of the best liberal members of the United States Senate has done what any good liberal member of the United States Senate should do, and he has done it at some potential cost politically to himself. The state of Ohio is a massive consumer of coal, a massive burner of coal. There's even some coal extracted in Ohio. I think of Meigs County, where our friend Elisa Young lives. And the coal lobby is strong in Ohio and profound. The sludge is strong with that one. Nevertheless, a man who is working daily on greatness, Senator Sherrod Brown, who has been admired of many of us for a great long while, Sherrod Brown did something profound today. Sherrod Brown signed on by God as a co-sponsor of S-696, the Appalachian Restoration Act. You know why he did that? Again, because of you. Because we have a lot of listeners in Ohio, and you have pressured, and you have asked nicely, and you have remained constant in your insistence that Sherrod Brown do the right thing, and he has. Oh, I do love it when politicians get it right, and I love it even more when liberal politicians behave liberally. And so a big debt of thanks goes out to everyone who has ever contacted Sherrod Brown and reminded him that Appalachian people are Americans too. This is a good day. This is a very good day. It's also, don't think for a minute that there isn't some, you know, right-wing lunacy and such out there, but with this kind of good news, I wasn't going to start with a downer or even a silly. I had to start with the good stuff. And that's not even all the good stuff. Oh, no. No, there's more good stuff out there. Stuff that, goodness gracious, all Americans can equally celebrate. I think we've got an interesting night ahead of us. It will be more interesting if you bring your thoughts to the table. You know the number, 877-443-2366. 877, the numeral 4, head on, 304-658-3333 is the number to dial if you want to save us the toll charges. Email comes into Bob Kincaid, B-O-B-K-I-N-C-A-I-D. We have cause for celebration. And you, by God, look at what you've done. You've created activist radio. You've created the horn. And we'll be back.
Faces cracked from smiling, full of fears that she's been hiding. And it seems that pretty soon, everybody's gonna know.
Thinking ahead means preparing for the future of our children, our grandchildren, and our wild, wonderful West Virginia. Developing our renewable energy resources is the best way to ensure a clean, sustainable way of life and safe, good-paying jobs for generations to come. Here in the Mountain State, our most abundant energy resource is the wind. Our ridges and majestic mountain peaks shape and direct the wind like stones in a mountain stream. Coal River Mountain is the ideal place for developing wind power. The Coal River Mountain Wind Farm will provide us with a source of clean energy and good jobs forever. We have the power to make our future happen now. Be a part of the clean energy solution for West Virginia by visiting coalriverwind.org or call 304-854-2182. That's coalriverwind.org, 854-2182.
This is a public service announcement.
There's a new type of music program coming to the Horn.
They wanted me about a summer or whatever. Picture me buying the scam. I said never. But I won't need the
battle call. Music for liberals. Music for activists. Music with a social conscience.
Down K Street.
The People's Mixtape.
Johnny's dead and Mitch has gone and Kelly have to lose that on the list and then goes out and on.
Coming soon to the Head On Radio Network.
Oh, the vibe is just way too good. So let's do this early. Let's not wait until 15 minutes before the program's over and then light up all six lines. Let's do it now. 877-443-2366, 877, the numeral 4, head on your nickel, 304-658-3333. And we are going straight away to the phones. I'm seeing in the chat room that Brother Tobias is with us.
That's me.
Oh, hot diggity, what's up?
Well, I'm not trying to buzzkill you or nothing.
Oh, no, you can't do that.
No, that's good. Because I've been on the phone to talk to you a couple of times during the week, but other pressing matters had prevailed me to have to leave, so I figured I would talk to you now.
Sure, sure. Sometimes you gotta break camp.
Absolutely. We had spoken earlier in the week. You guys were talking about, you know, just with the Hutteries and all these other nonsensical bastards that are out there using the name of my God, everybody's God, any God, you know, to do their nefarious deeds. Because you had proffered the question, you know, if I drop a hammer on my foot. Does that, you know, and you say GD, does that taking the Lord's name in vain? And I texted you, no, it is not.
Right, because it isn't.
Because, well, God is not God's name, but these trailer park monkeys think that it is. And women have the right to decide for themselves. The actions of these terrorists calling themselves Christians, Randall Terry, Operation Rescue, the Army of God, etc., sickens me beyond belief. Dr. Hearn, I feel so strongly about this that I am willing to come to your clinic at my expense and act as a volunteer escort to stand between these women and the lunatic friends who would yell at them, scream at them, spit at them, or worse. I will wear my clerical civil attire, black suit with white collar, if for no other reason than to show the world that these Operation Rescue nuts do not speak for all Christians. I will continue to pray for you and your staff and your families, that God would shield you from the lunacy that has encircled you. You are doing good work, and the world is not blind to it. My thoughts and prayers are with you, and once again, I pray for you in the loss of your friend in your time of grief. Thank you. In Christ, Tobias H. Black.
Damned human of you, Tobias.
And I meant it. I was willing
to. I don't doubt it. I don't doubt it for a minute.
And I've had people, I've since posted this a few places, and I've had people say, you are willing to get shot for somebody else's right, even though it's a right, you know, that you wouldn't choose for yourself? I said, absolutely. That's the nature of true Christianity. Absolutely. And if you won't, then get out of the boat. You need to rethink your priorities. I'm so sick of these nuts, these huttery. I mean, they're just the latest incarnate. They're just the latest born.
Right, yeah, even though the militia movement at large said, oh, yeah, we're not, they were, I mean, you think we're a fringe group. They were fringe on the fringe. No.
I have been saying it before Barack Obama got elected. I said he would be the guy. He would be the guy that got elected. I said, you know, when Hillary was polling, when they said, well, it's going to be a Subway series. It's going to be Hillary against Rudy. I said, nope, it's Obama. If you listen to his speeches, it's Obama. And even then, I said, I worry because there's so much racism. There's so much. I said, and it'll be a Christian that takes a shot. It'll be somebody putting on the mantle, quote unquote, of Christianity that takes a shot at this guy. And I still maintain, I do not retract my words. I hope that it doesn't happen. But I know deep down, when you see these people, it's like you said last night, it's like Mike Malloy said, it's like, you know, the people that show you who they are, like this, what was a Glenn Miller guy, you know, the people that show you who they are only in the confines of polite, Fancy said, quiet conversation. That, you know, the real racism that doesn't wear a hood. The racism that works beside you every day at the plant, all the while, you know, it's a crock pot of hatred stewing the most vile stuff that you could ever imagine. And it's everywhere.
Yeah, it truly is. There is no haven from it anywhere in this country.
No, and it's more prolific because the internet has made them. It's made it more easier for people to get their message out.
Yeah, that's something David in Tennessee said a couple of weeks ago, that you know the hate monger that he knew in 1965 who had to write away for and use postage stamps and stuff to get mimeographed pages of bizarre hatred. He doesn't even have to. That effort is not required anymore.
Yeah, email doesn't cost you anything. You can download a free piece of software and as a mail slinger and just spit out thousands upon thousands of emails from the comforts of your own home and cost you nothing to do it. You're not going down with box loads, beer boxes full of letters you're mailing out for the man. Nope, it's not costing you anything. You can send up you can buy a junk computer and set that
and you know what and even beyond that, Tobias, because you're not spending money on stamps, suddenly you've got money to run ads on the Hot Talk KMBZ AM 980. Tune in for Rush Limbaugh.
Well, you hit the nail on the head yesterday. He's not running ads there because, well, I'll just run ads there because, you know, in hope of a blind squirrel finds a nut. He's running ads there because that's where the ears that'll hit.
Right. It's not a blind squirrel looking for a nut. It's a blind squirrel knowing where there's a tree full of nuts.
That's right. You know, you go where the nuts are. You know, it's like the guy that was the famous bank robber said, why do I rob banks? Because that's where the money is.
Where the money is, sure.
He's going there because that's where the hotbed of activity is, because he will shake some people loose. Because there'll be people that will go, yep, that's right, that's what them people got our jobs. This is the South. Kentucky is the South, too. People say, well, we're a border state. Yeah, right.
No, you're not.
Sure you are. It's like, go.
No. Now, if you live in a state where there's a dish called burgoo, you're a Southern state. I mean, you ever hear of burgoo in Oregon or burgoo in, no.
You know, and the racism is just, it's just gone high tech. And yet
at the same time, that self-same Kentucky is the first place that's actually issued a subpoena in a civil court for His Holiness the Pope.
Absolutely. I was Catholic for a decade. No, thank you. Somebody said, well, why don't you go back to that church? It's akin to me them saying, well, here, why don't you eat, you know, scalding hot scorpions? No, thanks. Been there. You know, I am a survivor of molestation. It was not Catholic molestation that perped on me. But know, there's enough of that in that hoedown to go around for everybody. And it's they all turn a blind eye. You know, I agree with Mike Malloy in the fact that I can find no other organizing principle for the Roman Catholic Church than child abuse at this point, than pedophilia. Because if they were truly...
Well, but, okay, I'll... And it would appear, you don't know anything about this on this end, Tobias, but it would appear that the Internet is playing its own April Fool's joke on me, apparently. We buffered up twice during this conversation. And just stopped it a third time that, you know, more Internet gremlins, yeesh. I got a feeling at some point in time I'm going to have to completely wipe this computer, and that is just going to suck. But I ain't going to do it tonight. But no, you're right. You're right in all of this. And of course, any idea that... this is isolated in the
No. I said when Obama got elected, I said, you know, it will be, if anybody actually, you know, makes an attempt on this president, it will be, I said, don't kid yourself, it will be someone wearing the frock of nut job fringe right-wing Christianity. And I caught a lot of heat in my circles for saying that. Like, how can you say that? Look, don't kid yourself.
How can you not say that?
I said, you know, that's what will happen. They need to be. That's who they need to be looking at. You know, these are the groups that will spawn this person. They will cultivate this person. They will do everything short of putting the gun in the man's hands if they don't do that too.
And by the way, the goober who allegedly threatened Representative Cantor's life.
He threatened Pelosi, he threatened Reid, he threatened everybody but a man in the moon.
Right. Norman Laboon. Yeah, hey, you want the real prize in the box of Cracker Jacks on this guy?
What's that?
He had a concealed carry permit.
Sure he did. Like I said, I love my brother.
Which means he had to go in front of a court and go, I'll behave myself with the gun, Your Honor. Really, I will, I promise.
My brother is a airborne ranger. Disabled from Panama, that little skirmish down there where we lost an entire SEAL team. That most people are like, something happened in Panama? Yeah. Who has severe PTSD. He has a concealed carry permit as well as a gunsmithing license, as well as he can teach other people to get their concealed carry permit. And I was like, dude, not if I was in charge. Love you like a brother because you are mine, but hey, there's a problem in the system of this state when the Commonwealth of Kentucky looks at you and go, yeah, you should teach other people how to get guns. Okay, dude.
Because that's going to be a net good.
Yeah.
You know, and luckily there is a woman out there, a brilliant woman, a law professor at the University of Maryland by the name of Sherrilyn Ifill. And she has said... well, this is the quote. Let's dispense with the false Republican-Democrat symmetry that has become the only lens through which we view events in Washington. There is no symmetry here. The rhetoric of Republican leaders, replete with hunting metaphors, crosshair icons, and other veiled references to violence, whether perpetrated by Sarah Palin, Michael Steele, or Republicans in Congress, cannot be compared with Democratic leadership, even during the dark days of George W. Bush, when there was a real assault on the Constitution in the name of national security, as the Supreme Court later confirmed in several cases. Code Pink and Cindy Sheehan did not walk around at rallies brandishing rifles, nor did anti-war and anti-Bush activists carry signs that suggested that a gun could solve the problems that politics cannot. The history of right-wing violence in this country over the last 50 years cannot be denied.
Oh, absolutely.
But meanwhile, that's the only way that it can be talked about in the for-profit media, Tobias. Yeah, well, you know, Democrats did it too. William Ayers, William Ayers, William Ayers, William Ayers.
It's the history of false equivalency. And yeah, they'll bring up William Ayers. They'll bring up the weather underground. But I always love when they but they bring up the weathermen, and it's like, yeah, how many people did they kill? None. They bombed property, and the only time anybody ever got killed was their own people when they were making a bomb, and it went off accidentally, and it blew up the townhouse they were in, and killed, I think, 5 or 6 of their own people.
Yeah.
They always called ahead of time and made sure people were out of the building.
Right.
I mean, am I excusing their activities?
No, I don't think, not by any stretch of the imagination.
You'll never hear me say, well, gee, that what they did was right. Never.
Oh, by the way, an update coming from Beth in Dallas. She says, just for your information, Dr. Hearn, and you'll be glad to know this, Dr. Hearn is not the only remaining physician providing late abortion care. Dr. Curtis Boyd of Albuquerque has stepped into the breach, and 2 doctors who worked with Dr. Tiller are assisting him. So,
well, as of January information, when I wrote the letter, that was the latest information, because on that now had, you know, their package was he was the only one left. And, you know, of course, places like Operation Rescue and Randall Terry's fine, upstanding Christian people. And
godly,
God.
Even.
Well, an Army of God, I mean, I've got a documentary that's over 10 years old on Army of God. I mean, they've been on my radar for a decade. I'm like, why are these people not on the top of domestic terrorist watch list?
Yeah, and Repent Amarillo, and right.
Right. I mean, these guys are, because it's like, okay, if this was a mosque, or if this was pick any other religious group, it doesn't have to be.
Thank you. Listening to The Horn, the head-on radio network. You're listening to The Horn, the head-on radio network. You're listening to The Horn, the head-on radio network. Listening to The Horn, the head-on radio network.
Thank you.
Listening to The Horn, the Head-On Radio Network. Listening to The Horn, the Head-On Radio Network.